SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three at the races, and Casey just letting me know. I guess some people, Casey thinks that there was a Microsoft might have, in terms of your audio player, folks, some of you may have had trouble today. It might have been an update, so you may need to update your media player if you were having trouble. Of course, this is always a one of those crazy things. If people are having trouble, they can't hear me giving them instructions to to update their media player. That's pretty funny. So let's try to get Ed DeRosa in here first, and then we'll get to Hammer, and want to maybe a little late because Ed probably getting ready for the card at Santa Anita. You know, I should mention as well, of course, they got started at Pimlico yesterday, day one of the Preakness meet, and things look lush as can be at Pimlico. And you know, we're also a few other places that we haven't had a chance really to talk much about, but you know, the summer schedule, I looked ahead to Saturday, and 27 racetracks running on Saturday. So we are in the full spring, late spring, early summer calendar. Arlington, should also mention. And, you know, speaking of Arlington, I just happened to have glanced. You know, what I do a lot of times is I'll pull up when I want to see what lies ahead on whether it's a single weekday or on the weekends when they've already been published. But you know, DRF has got those quick sheets, which I love, and I use the quick sheet as sort of as a cover page for PPs. And I happened to glance at Arlington, and it looks like we'll obviously get a chance to talk to Marcus Hirsch, you know, as things start to heat up at Arlington. But they've got the Hanshin Cup tomorrow, and it looks like a nice card. That was one of the one of the slates that I looked at, and there were a lot of big full fields. In fact, here it is. You got maiden race late in the card with 11 of them, and you've got the Hanshin Cup's got 10. Nightcap, non-winners of 2, has got a full field of 12. You got 11 going at the start of the pick 4 in a filly and mare claimer going 6 furlongs. 11 horses there. So 11 by 10 by 11 by 12 in the late pick 4. And in the low takeout pick 5 at Arlington, Illinois Bred Maiden Special going a mile and a 16th. Fillies and mares, there's 8 to start the pick 5. So big, nice full fields at Arlington. Here's Ed DeRosa. Ed, have you been glancing at Arlington here to start the meet?
Glancing, and actually was hoping to get to the Hanshin Cup for our visit and didn't. But, even opening weekend, heard some buzz, and, it overlaps with Oaks and Derby, so it's tough for me to get too involved. But I have heard that they, some adjustments to recruitment and how they're writing the book, and it seems to have paid off short term for sure, and really hoping it continues throughout the year as an annual visitor. No plant and metro area embraces racing, I won't say better, but they're certainly near the top and deserve a top quality product, and good to see some things going in that direction.
Yeah, rooting for, and everybody the last couple of years, whenever Chicago comes up, everybody puts this, the proviso on it. What's happening in Chicago? It just, anything we can do to support Hawthorne and Arlington trying to do it, and looks like they're having a good start to the meet. So the Hanschen Cup.
Well, I played the 3-4 at Fairmount on Tuesday, so I'm doing my part for Illinois Racing.
That a boy. You're the best. Fairmount Park, absolutely. East St. Louis. I love it. Well, Ed, we'll talk about the weekend and what lies ahead, but first we got to do the obligatory Derby recapping. And we talked to James earlier. Let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I guess it's part mea culpa, certainly with me trying to be justified, at least from a, you know, win top pick perspective. And can't take anything away from him. I mean, he was much the best, and certainly, you know, to cut those fractions with Promises Fulfilled, and really not only with Promises Fulfilled, Bull D'Oro made a legitimate run at him. Good Magic, of course. Audible was running late, but, you know, was never a threat to the winner. All three of those good horses, and I think Justify had an answer for it all. So to the victor go the spoils. That's not me. But I will say, I thought one thing, my approach and how I wanted to bet the Derby, I was happy with. I mean, it didn't pay off in the end because my keys were Hoffberg and Lone Sailor. But, you know, as we discussed, my approach was I want to hit the super if I'm right about the 2 20-to-1 plus horses that I like. And, you know, they didn't get there, and that's fine. And I've taken some ribbing about, oh, you know, you didn't like Justify and he won. The reality is, if Hoffberg or Lone Sailor had run well and gotten in the number, I wasn't going to let Justify beat me. And, you know, that didn't work out. It was instilled regard for fourth as well. But when you look at what that super paid compared to the try, I'm comfortable that, I you know, I made the right plays to try to hit the super with the two price horses I liked. And, you know, that was to me, that was the opinion that I didn't quite get right enough. Yeah, I didn't love Justify at 5-2, but, you know, I'm already looking my chops for next year. I feel like, you know, being in the super pool and making sure that was my target with the horses I thought were offering the most value was the right play. And, you know, I was wrong this time, but the bad thing about the Derby is you kind of got to wait a year to hope the percentages go in your favor. But, you know, that's one thing I'm going to definitely build on and keep in mind for next year is, you know, play accordingly, and if my opinion's right, to really get it. But there was no way I was going to have it as it played out with Justify winning. But, you know, I feel good about the shots I took with Lone Sailor and Hoffberg, and you're going to be wrong more often than not. And in this game, you have to accept that and come back swinging.
Well, and that is one of the things that we all agreed on, no matter who anybody liked, was that you could take variable approaches and finding the horses that were going to get involved and potentially impact the race on the lower tier, the second half of the exotics, particularly if you were playing the super. And, you know, we did get to, you know, with a couple different people that mentioned Instilled Regard, you know, that kind of a horse, whether it was him or whether it was, you know, the ones that you were on or anybody else, that has proven to be a very viable approach in the Derby. And as you said, and as I personally took stand-wise against Mendelsohn, you can certainly stand against any horse that is going to be a short price in the Derby annually, but you can still cash using them. I mean, that's the beauty. So yeah, there's no reason to have to, you know, apologize for the approach. I mean, it's such a curious wagering opportunity that it leaves room for so many different kinds of angles to take toward it. So now we look ahead to Baltimore. We'll talk about that in a second. Some other observations, Ed, what else, you know, what went right the rest of the weekend and some overall thoughts with the Derby behind us?
The Oaks was probably one of my better opinions. You know, but not that Monomoy Girl was shocked to many, but it was a tough call sticking with her from the 14, but it was had kind of been on her. She was my number one for a while. Once Paige sort of, you know, was clearly not going to point to the Oaks and all that. But I thought Florent Giroux's ride, as I'm sure it's been discussed many times, to work out that trip was great. Really looking forward to seeing what Brad does and the team does with her the rest of the year. Overall, it looks like a good, fun group with Wonder Godot potentially targeting the Queen's Plate. Midnight Bazoo we'll see on the East Coast as well. Kenny talked about Eskimo Kisses for the Saratoga races. I'm sure Mark's thinking similar with My Miss Lily. And there's some turf pedigree among those horses as well. So, you know, some options to look at there with the Belmont Oaks and races like that. So I think this crop, whether we're talking turf, dirt, sprinters, routes, you know, Matoli for Steve Asmussen, of course, analyzed it on the turf. Really excited to see what, you know, what we're talking about in the summer and who's going where. I think we'll have some competitive divisions and good racing when things heat up.
Absolutely. What else?
And then, yeah, Preakness-wise, I'll get in a plug for the home team at Brisnet, but I was actually spending the morning when Casey called getting our bundle together with PPs and all that good stuff. So hit up Brisnet.com/Preakness is where all the reports are going to be. Looking forward to having Gus back with the spotlights. And as those every year, reminder, Pimlico draws that Black Eyed Susan card this weekend. So plenty of study time before the Preakness draw comes for Saturday's races. Lots of time to dig in, and all that will be up at Brisnet.com/Preakness.
Excellent. And, of course, you know, Rich Ang was with us yesterday as well, and Rich had a nice showing with his analysis.
And, yeah, he'll be back, too. He's been a very welcome addition. Unfortunately, the nature of turf riding, some of these additions have come through attrition elsewhere, but it's good to have an outlet for solid handicappers and people who, you know, honed their craft through the years. And Rich wrote a book even. So, you know, it's part of, you know, the negative of turf riding, but we're happy that he and others at other outlets as well have found a place, and we'll definitely be using him throughout the Triple Crown and summer and Breeders' Cup.
Excellent. Well, let's turn our attention to the racing. And some thoughts, Ed, what caught your attention?
Well, I thought, you know, sort of for an in-between week, Naira did a wonderful job with its Belmont card on Saturday, the All-Stakes Pick Four, including the graded stakes to close it out. My two plays this week are going to be the late double there. In the Peter Pan, Diamond King going to the Preakness certainly, I think, hurts Splendid Citizen's chances, but the numbers fit too well for me not to use him, and he's not going to be the favorite. I think Core Beliefs is probably going to, he already was the morning line favorite, but he'll probably move up even further with Diamond King going elsewhere. So, you know, if Splendid Citizen, I do think he'll have to be a little closer than what we saw in the Bluegrass. We've seen him be closer on synthetic. So, you know, it's a little bit of a gamble that he can actually lay closer on dirt, but it's 6-1 or, you know, maybe 9-2, 5-1 with the scratch. I still think we're getting the right price on a horse whose numbers are right there with everyone else.
All right.
And then in the Man of War, I mean, it's the, I'm drawing a blank on his name now, the 50-1 horse, that horse isn't really going to be that price, is he?
Cacho Undi?
Yeah.
Meh. As opposed to what?
Too, I mean,
as opposed to what
10,
price?
He looks 10-1 to me.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. I mean, you don't get a chance too often to see a 50-1 that sticks out on the various. Like, occasionally a horse will stick out on, you know, one thing I'll use, whether it's, you know, the Brisnet speed rating or class rating good, and you could say, well, you know, 50-1 I can, you know, play him to run back to that one number, or, you know, maybe it's a a thoroughbred figure that sticks out, or a pattern where they're slow, but you say, well, if there's improvement, to make a horse 50-1 morning line my top pick, I really want to see something more than just, you know, one variable that you say, well, I have to use this horse. I think he fits in right there at, like I said, 10-1. I mean, maybe not the most likely winner, but, you know, the race at Fairgrounds, he was wide. Obviously, the last race was against much lesser, but the number checks out. And on turf, if you get clear run, sometimes that could be enough. I have to tout this horse at 50-1.
I don't blame you per se. The problem here is there's 10 horses in here, and while he's competitive, he is competitive with, you know, the second half of the field. If you were to rank the likeliest winner, it's hard not to see him as the 10th most likely. Now, it is turf racing, where one horse wins and six should have, as the chief, as Alan Jerkins famously says, and sticks with me forever. And even pace-wise, I mean, I guess he's, you know what, from a pace standpoint, he's no worse than Scholar Athlete, I'll tell you that, or Postulation. I can't argue that point. And he does get Junior Alvarado, who is very capable in this kind of a race. He's got a good pace sense, and if he's got horse, he'll put in a run. And the horse, of course, is still in the shadow of having been claimed away from Earl Mack and Adam Wachtel. So, you know what? I don't blame you, Ed. Why not?
Yeah.
Why
not? No, I mean, and you. I mean, you know me. If I love a chaw, I don't mind picking a horse.
No, absolutely. Like, why not?
Yeah, I don't have to reach the peacock for anyone. But yeah, just stuck out to me. And the more I look, was willing to dig my heels in and say, hey, this might be something here. So
at the very least, you made people aware, and when they put their tickets together, if they're, you know, king somebody else for tries and supers, you made them look at a horse that they might have otherwise just glossed over. So
yeah,
valuable on that front.
Yeah, especially, I mean, you know, with that trainer who takes his lumps occasionally for spotting horses and such, but this one seems to fit, and maybe you get a little bit of an uptick because of that.
Absolutely. And of course he did have the one, I'm going to forget his name, with the M. He had the one miracle, the 40-1 winner that
in the Manhattan.
Was that what it was? Was it the Manhattan?
Mission approved?
Yes. Look at you. Good job. Good job. Yeah. Nice job.
So yeah, those are the two. I was hoping to get to the Hanchin and ran out of time, putting some other stuff together for Brisnet. But when I got through the Man of War and was like, oh, I'm on a 50-1, maybe I can be just my mic drop and I can leave the room on that if he wins.
I love it. All right. Well,
so,
it's good to see you.
Carry over today at Churchill will be my parting shot. Everyone take a look at that pick five. First ever pick five carryover in the history of Churchill Downs.
It's very exciting. How'd you do yesterday with the carryover? I asked James. I think most of us got absolutely blindsided by the crazy winner in the turf sprint.
Yeah, myself included, and didn't have the winner of the last either, who certainly wasn't impossible.
No,
I felt good. Certainly when I was looking at, I might go 5 or 6, I was willing to kind of shrug my shoulders and, you know, say, oh, the turf sprint beat me. But looking at, someone asked me before the sequence what my strongest opinion was, and it was using just numbers 7 and 8, the Norm Cassie and the one to his outside in the first leg. And with that coming through, I kind of felt like one opinion I could have had was maybe using both Life's Blessings and the winner of that race on a main ticket. And from there, I could see maybe being able to get to the two winners I missed. But, you know, that's definitely for every decision you make like that, you know, might make another decision where you cut off a winner of another race. So no real regrets. Just, you know, the ones I got wrong, I got wrong, which feels a lot better than, you know, feeling like you should have hit it. I mean, I didn't deserve to hit it with, you know, my opinions of the races where I didn't have the winner. So, c'est la vie. Like I said about the derbies, got to be wrong sometimes, but make your opinions really count when they're right.
Absolutely. And that lets you be wrong whatever percentage when you hit and you're right and you take, you know, that approach, it makes for profitability long term. I mean, that there's nothing wrong with having that mentality. Same with the, you know, bet small to earn large. I mean, that's that all fits together. Ed, I guess we won't
it's
see you
mantra.
In Baltimore. Vance Hansen making the trip.
You get Vance in Baltimore, and I look forward to seeing everyone in New York.
Outstanding. Ed DeRose, everybody, EJXD2. We thank him and James for a terrific couple of weeks in Kentucky. We'll take a break here, 20 minutes in, and Rick Hammerly standing by. We'll go out to Santa Anita and spend time with Rick. We'll send you out into the race day and the weekend in a little bit at the races. SiriusXM back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Hey, folks, Eddie Olchek here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Maryland for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Well, undoubtedly, they've been rocking at Santa Anita and in Cali all week after another West Coast Wonder Horse, the Wonder Horse Hammer. You named him the Wonder Horse, and he came through. Good morning.
He did come through. And I'll tell you, the only thing I have to say is, or one of the only things I have to say is we talked last week. In 1989, I knew Sunday Silence was going to win. So in 2018, obviously, very strongly about this one. So in about 20 years or 25 years, when I like a horse, you can go to the window. How's that?
But, absolutely.
This was, like I said before, it's just one of those little magical rides that they're really, since day one, I didn't see any other result. And kind of cosmic, to tell you the truth, in a way. But as soon as the gates opened and I broke and went by the stands the first time, I mean, pretty much that was it, I thought. And so it was kind of cool to see. Very happy, obviously, one of our... You know, another graduate of our program here. Little unorthodox, obviously, for the way he came into it. But you know, in a way, it wasn't, because you know, I look back. People ask me about that allowance race now, and as, that he ran in his second race, and as I mentioned. You know, I didn't know he was even going in there. He made a good bluff by talking about the Sunland Derby, and that race was the day after the San Rafael, which is like the prep for our Derby prep. So I went back and I go. I think I kind of have a race around there sometimes, depending. So last year, same scenario. I had that same allowance race 2 days before the Derby. And I remember we didn't really have a big favorite for the Derby, so it didn't matter, so I put the race early. This year I put it after the Derby because I knew it was going to be a short field. I mean, after the San Rafael, because I knew it was going to be a short field. And if somebody wanted, to take somebody away from that might go in the San Rafael, and if their allowance race didn't go, it didn't matter. But anyway, last year had the same scenario, and guess who won that allowance race last year? Battle of Midway. So... and he obviously went on to, you know, run good in the Santa Anita Derby and then third in the Kentucky Derby. So the idea being, you know, we'd take the winner of the stake and then also another winner on that same weekend or that same period, so we get two winners going into the Santa Anita Derby. So anyway, it was quite a ride, and you know, everywhere I turn on, you know, Bob's been out doing the talk show circuit, which is great. It was on Steve's and Dina's blog last night, and he was on Xbox TV. He's on your show, which is great. And you know, it's just when Bob wins, he really does the right thing and goes out and talks and you know, answers questions and lets everybody know you know, how good our sport is. Great spokesman for our sport. But yeah, it was a fun ride. It really was. Just the whole, what is it, 76 days, 67 days, whichever it was, getting there. And like I said, nice to have another Santa Anita Derby winner in the holster.
Well, and of course, not only the Derby winner, but for Jerry Hollidor, for bringing Larry Best's expensive purchase, seemingly literally the last horse in the field in Stilled Regard, and... You know, getting him a superfecta finish, that's a nice result for those connections.
That is a nice result. And, you know, he ran in the Santa Anita Derby as well. And coming into that race, I mean, he looked fine. He ran that good race in Louisiana. And, you know, he was fine. And almost from the minute he got the race was over and the horse cooled out, Jerry Hollendorfer and the camper, like, we want to run in the Derby. You know, we're there. You know, put us... if there's a spot, we'll go. And sure enough, a spot came alive, and you know, he was ready to go. You never underestimate Jerry. He quietly just gets his horses ready for the big races, and they run big.
Yeah, we also
good weekend of racing. You know, I will say next year I will be there or thereabouts in Kentucky. It's not after being there for many, many, many years and then not going. It's kind of a letdown not to have that, you know, that feel, atmosphere. So I said to myself, you know, it's a nice break, but I'll be out there with you next year for sure.
And we'll see you. We'll see you no later than New York, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, there's no doubt. That's all done. That come in there. Springsteen Thursday night, Friday night handicap, Saturday or Friday morning show with you, and Belmont on Saturday.
Very nice. Very nice.
That's been on the calendar for a while.
All right, good. I didn't want to say. I wanted to make sure nothing was interfering with that. You know, one of the pleasantries from the weekend was Toinette's win and being able to congratulate Neil Drysdale on Friday, and then having him on the show Monday. I mean, we certainly get our share of Hall of Famers that visit. We don't get a chance to talk to Neil nearly enough.
No, and, you know, Neil is, I don't know what he, I mean, Neil and I have always been friends and gotten along, but in the last, I'm going to say 3, 4, 5 years, he's just kind of really mellowed out. He's kind of taken the edge off a little bit, doesn't have a ton of superstars in his barn anymore. He's running horses more. He's smiling in the morning. He's just been very much more talkative, and you know what? He's enjoying being a trainer right now more than anything, I think. He's just he doesn't have that pressure of this and that, but he's got a lot of nice horses. And like you said, it was actually kind of cool to see him pull off the wind, you know, and I'm glad you got him on the show to talk about it, because he can be very talkative. He's got a lot of stories to tell. But that was kind of cool for Neil.
Very much, and it's clear that, you know, whether it's some of the long-term owners that are still with him, or even some new that have come his way,
he's just very he's not as on edge and, you know, right, worrying about this or that. Everything, he just kind of takes everything as it comes, and I think that's just. And that's been his everyday demeanor now. He's, like I say, he doesn't have a barn full of stars. He's got some nice horses, and he's able to run more, which, he was known in the past for, you know, picking his spots or finding reasons not to run, kind of almost jokingly to a some degree. But now he's just a regular innerer, and like I said, I think he's enjoying the game a lot more than maybe he was for a while. So it's cool.
Yeah. We're happy for him, and we'll be betting Madam Stripes back when the opportunity arises. She was in a
bad. I think we'll be betting a lot of horses.
Yes.
From Saturday back, in many of those races. You know, obviously, when you get weather like that and conditions like that and services like that, some take to it, some don't, and you know, that just adds to the handicapping, Miss D. You know, but it sounded like you had a good day. Like I said, it was a fun day here. It was a little more live here than probably a lot of other places, because obviously when you have, you know, one of your own, Justify in there, at least one, and, you know, Salamini, and you mentioned Hollendorf Horse, and, of course, we can't forget about Bolt d'Oro in there, too. So we had a lot of action out here from California. And, you know, speaking of Bolt d'Oro, you know, you'll see a new horse with him the next time he starts as well. I think you can maybe do a little surface throw out for him as well. So, it was good all the way around. And we're, you know, back here. You mentioned Hall of Fame Neil Drysdale. We've got another Hall of Famer coming back next week. Gary Stevens will be headed back here after, I say, a successful run for the first part of the year in the Midwest. And Rafael Bejarano, one of our fan favorites and, you know, top riders, will be back. I think he started riding back yesterday after he broke his wrist. Gosh, it seems like a long time ago. Probably was a couple months ago. But, you know, did the right thing, let it heal. And so he'll be back in full force. So, you know, keep your eye on him. And so that adds to an already pretty interesting jockey colony out here. It's really kind of taken shape after a little getting used to, but, you know, the second half of the meet, Pratt's back on top, Giovanni Franco, who has come here, has been here probably less than a year now, has really taken, people have really taken to him. Trainers have shown, or he's shown trainers that he's willing to work and he can ride them, you know, short, long, turf, dirt. And so he's the second. You got Pieria up there and Mario Gutierrez, who him and O'Neill just had an unbelievable week last week with owner Paul Redham. So different look this last half of the meet, so it's good to get those two guys back. And a little bit, actually it's kind of misty out here today, so it's nice to have the cool weather, to believe it or not, for a while. And I wanted to ask you a question. I just saw last night that the Breeders' Cup changed their lineup of races. Did you see that?
I mentioned it to start the show.
I missed the start.
What is your
probably a non issue? First, I wasn't real keen on it, but I guess it doesn't really matter, right? Having all the 2 year races on Friday, I'm glad they moved the Philly race back to
exactly
Saturday where it never should have left. But you just wonder the string of 2 year old races if that's going to make that any better, or if it's going to lose some of that luster. I don't know.
You got to balance, obviously, the loss of the two juvenile main track races from Saturday, the original, which were part of the original Breeders' Cup lineup.
Right.
But I think bringing the distaff back to Saturday is so paramount that you can be accepting of the two-year-old card. I do want to hear from Ben Huffman as to what he's going to do, if he's going to augment the future stars Friday, if he's going to augment it with more two-year-old racing, because he's got his own busy November when it comes to the Stars of Tomorrow. And maybe maybe part of that Stars of Tomorrow one weekend, I wouldn't think he would move the Iroquois and the Pocahontas. I don't think he would move them there. They would be a couple of weeks earlier, but then, you get the Golden Rod.
You think bettors are looking for more two-year-old racing on that kind of a day?
I don't know.
It's a good question. I never really thought about that. I would think not, but, but they run five of the stakes, and I think they run 10 races that day.
It's a 10-race card. Five
more races to fill up.
Yes.
I don't know. I would think that'd be enough two-year-old racing for the day. But you never know. I never really thought about combining that. But we'll see. We'll see.
And I'm just, if I go to the now that, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I was going to certainly ask you what your thoughts were. But here we go. Churchill's only got, they've only got the spring schedule, the spring stakes schedule available right now on the website. But if you went back to the, to last fall, you would get an idea of what's available, because of course, Rick, when the Breeders' Cup comes to town,
when it comes to town, we have a few other stakes. We have we had the Damascus here, which was a sprint stake, which was kind of an overload if some of the sprint was too big. We had a couple state bred stakes that we would throw out there. So you're trying to throw some local stakes in there as well, which I'm sure they'll do, and probably end up with between the 2 days, four or five allowance races they'll have to come up with. And most of those other races will be, some type of stake, some of them graded to fill that out. I think definitely on Saturday, we made it a point to have, all stakes that day. And I'm sure they'll come close to doing that, and maybe as well on Friday. They have a lot more horses to draw from, of course, than we do out here when we do it. But I think you'll see a majority of stake races and, an allowance race or two here or there to fill it out. But looking forward to go back to Churchill for the Breeders' Cup. That's been a while, but I've always had good times and good days out there. So be looking forward to that.
Well, and here's my point. I'm looking at last October 29th. So the weekend before.
Right.
And
at Churchill?
At Churchill, they had the Rags to Riches and the Street Sense. And by the way, the Rags to Riches was won by Monomoy Girl. Just FYI.
Go.
And uh-huh. Then you had the Street Sense, which was won by Gotta Go with Lone Sailor second and Bravazo third. And in between, they had those Spendthrift Stakes where Mia Mischief, who won the Eight Bells, she was second to Sultry in the Spendthrift Juvenile Filly Stake. And the boys actually had Fight On, Captivating Moon, and Dream Baby Dream. So go Google yourself in here as well. Broke her maiden. I mean, this was Stars of Tomorrow number one. And New York Central was in that card. He was third behind Seven Trumpets. You had all, so I got a feeling that Ben could take five 2-year-old races, maidens on the grass, maidens on the dirt, short, long, and you know, who knows, maybe Spendthrift wants to put those there.
Not happening. There's no way they're gonna have maiden races on those cards.
No?
No.
All right.
No.
Combatant, you know, broke his maiden
do
that day
on Thursday
too.
And Sunday, but on Friday and Saturday there's not gonna be any maiden races.
All right.
That's just my take on it.
Well, then they could. When was the Pocahontas and the? Let's go.
Aren't those usually preps?
Well, they're preps for that. They're preps for the Kentucky, Jockey Club and the Goldenrod.
Oh, okay. But look for some other regular stakes around that time, and that'll be
all right.
That'll.
They've got the ACAC and. The Jefferson Cup and the Lucas Classic.
Yeah, stuff like that. There you go. That's what I think that's what you'll end up seeing. But that's 6 months off. We got a lot of racing to do between now and then. I just looked at the weather this morning, just out of the blue for Baltimore next week. It looks like it might be a little wet earlier in the week. I don't know if you saw that.
I haven't looked, but that is one weekend that historically, I'll give you the Johnny D advance forecast. Johnny guarantees that one day or the other, Friday or Saturday, will be inclement. And Johnny has never been wrong when it comes to that.
You can almost guarantee that on Derby weekend the last 10 years.
More and more.
Well.
Yep.
Yeah.
More
amazing.
And more.
And, you know, usually many times it'll rain heavy on Friday night and they'll get that track right. It'll be fast by Saturday. But obviously this on TV, when you're watching it, it just looks like rain. You don't know if it's coming down, you know, an inch an hour or a drizzle. But apparently it was pretty bad from everybody that was there, so that it just never stopped. And
I
didn't get that impression on TV. I just thought it was just a regular rain until later in the day when they just basically – you know, gave up trying to save it. So
no, it was no.
Hey, it was the same
no
for everybody.
Yeah.
But you'd like to see, you know, you'd like to see if some of those horses that are coming back, if they're coming back, you know, run on a dry track. But you never know. What's your gut feeling on Good Magic?
I think. Oh, he's running. He'll run.
Tell you what, there's no reason he shouldn't run.
He ran
a winning race, and.
Yeah.
I hope he does. I'm glad, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. So that'd be great. The fact that he's pretty much has said he's not running in the Belmont, so he can do the two-weeker and then take a little break. So we'd like to see him in the lineup and, you know, anybody else. And I guess Mick has said that he'll run unless it's an off track. So, you know, it'd be nice to get those three back in there, to tell you the truth.
Agreed. And then... Amos seems. I think he perceived the Derby winner to be vulnerable after, you know, the histrionics over the hoof, and so the Lone Sailor got in. And you know, both of the Lucas horses demand attention because that Sporting Chance has been a talent from day one. He's gotten in his own way a couple of different times. But he's got talent, and Bravazo ran the exact same kind of race that Oxbow ran going back to his...
Yeah, what, 3, 4, 5 years ago? Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, Lucas gets it. You get your horses ready for these races, and since you spent all this time, last 3, 4 months, actually getting them ready for the races, you might as well run in them. And that's what he's doing. And when he's in there, you've seen it way back in his heyday. He would just enter. And he likes to run. And things happen when you run. You win sometimes.
That's true.
But I agree with you.
Hammer, let's do this. I want you to talk about the sequence because I looked at New York first, and it wasn't until this morning I got a chance to print out the Saturday slate. And the more I looked at the card tomorrow, the more races I ended up printing. And we should let people know that early on the day in that third race, that maiden going a mile and a 16th, we've got California Chrome's brother. We've got Faversham coming back.
Back after he tried the turf last time, and I don't think he's going to be a turf horse, put it that way.
No.
And so he's back on the dirt. I think he'd be letting me turn to it, but I think he'd been running in cowbred races exclusively. And actually out here, we don't make too many of those long ones on the dirt. Maidens, we made a couple of them. So he was third in the last one, tried the turf last time, and he'll be back in there against a couple of sharp runners. But no, tomorrow's card quietly is pretty good. We have a couple of stakes. I think we have 3 or 4 allowance races and a couple of nice maiden specials. So, yeah, tomorrow's card's good.
We talked to Quigley. Let me get your thoughts and turn to the Las Barrera. And I saw a very funny quote from Hollendorfer, who obviously got a little frustrated with Kanthaka, and in classic Dorf fashion, he said, "Yeah, we're going to run back at 7 furlongs. At least we know he can do that."
Hey, you
I
know
thought that was great.
Well, this is the time of year. Obviously, you know, you have something that you might have a glimmer of talent that has that small little hope to maybe get to the first Saturday in May, and Kanthaka was definitely one of those. Anytime you break your maiden at 7 furlongs, which obviously Justify did, but he broke his maiden going 7 furlongs opening day, came back and won the San Vicente, which over time has many times been a tough race to win. It's a good start, and it has been a good start for horses trying to move on in distances later on in the year. And he went back in the obvious spot in the San Felipe. And, you know, run into McKenzie and Bolt, who had their own little match race going on ahead of them, and maybe decided, you know what, I don't want to run against those, and went to Keeneland and, you know, ran okay. But I think Jerry realized, you know, he's not going a mile and a quarter in another 3 weeks. So let's go back to, like you said, something he knows. Kanthaka draws the rail here, not too worried about that. Obviously, the horse to beat with all that stake experience. Bob has a horse in here. He's got two in here. I think the one that he has a little more, thinks he has a little more upside too is the Z horse, Zulkahar. Yeah, you probably have a better pronunciation than I do. I'll ask Larry Colmus. He's the pronunciation king. But notice he shipped him back. He shipped him back to Arkansas. It's probably Rebel Day, I think, maybe, and tried to run him there, and once again it came up sloppy. Came back here and ran, beat a stablemate. But I think we'll look to see a little bit more from him moving on. And then Cal X-Man from Vladimir Serin is quietly having a very, very good year here. If you notice, though, every time he's running, he got beat by McKenzie, Justify, and X-Man. So he got that Bob Baffert thing in the way. But I look for Zulkafar to run really good, and, you know, Kanthaka will be there, and I guess maybe Cal X-Man, the mild upsetter. But I thought the race came up very good, very good. It would be a start for maybe some of this, you know, second half of the year for some of these moving forward.
Absolutely. The Las Barrera, very key, given that it's the last leg of the early pick five and the first leg of the late pick five. And among that late pick five and late pick four. You got a very good turf allowance going a mile, actually. That's sixth, the nice balanced group. And then that gets you to the 7 furlong Angels flight. Show It and Mow It did everything but win that evening jewel going back to Santa Anita Derby Day.
Yeah, he did. Now, here's, you know, this is a classic example. This is a little overnight stake. It's a $75,000 pot, and we got a nice field of 10. Yep. And I'll tell you, if this pot was $400,000, we'd have four or five horses in it. It's just it's the way it goes. It's just, I mean,
so
I'm telling
weird.
You see
I know, it's a strange, it's a phenomenon.
It is, because mentally, it's 75. Well, you know, it's a small stake. It's not going to be that big. Big a deal. Let's go in, you know. And then the same horses here. Oh, there's 400,000. Oh, there's going to be a couple monsters there, so I'm not going to run. It's amazing how, you know, purse money, yes, drives stuff, but many times it's just opportunity. So we got a lot of horses, you know, once again, kind of starting their second half of the year. But Show It and Mow It. I mean, now this, if this horse, you won't find a better managed horse then Show It and Mow It, the fact that he's a cowbred, how he's maneuvered through not only the cowbred conditions, he's won cowbred stakes, and we have some conditions here where if you win a cowbred stake, it doesn't count against you in open races, so he's gone back and won an open race, he's come back in cowbred races, he's made $250,000, and also he's a real horse, like you said, he just got beat in the evening jewel, but this horse has been perfectly managed as a cowbred, you know, with a little talent, how to kind of maneuver through the system. But, you know, we got a multiple grade one winner, Moonshine Memories, in here from Simon Callahan. You know, he's starting to bring back some of the horses that have been laid off. But won the Del Mar Debutante at 7/8 and came back and won the Chandelier. And, was favored in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, so... obviously a nice filly. We're looking to see here. This isn't the end game for her by any means, but we'll see how she does in here. Another interesting filly that I like, maybe on top just because of more recency, is Uppercut. A nice third in the Beaumont, and Peter Hurton is no stranger to good horses, and this hits her right in the head as well, going 7/8. So maybe get a little bit better of a price on her. And 13 squared, from Bob Baffert, who was third in our Oaks to Midnight Bijou, and actually lost twice to Midnight Bijou. So the old drop back to 7/8 is always a positive handicapping angle in this. So she'll be tough, too. But just a real nice ratio. I mean, a lot of nice horses showed up for this little 75 overnight stake.
Very much. And, you know, when we talked to Quigley, he stressed the return of Moonshine Memories, obviously, and, you know, beaten favorite in the Juvenile Fillies, as mentioned, and seemingly working along nicely for this return. So much like the return of Caledonia Road just last week in New York, and I only mentioned in passing that she came back to win, and so here's the favorite from the Juvenile Fillies coming back. And
right, so it's that, you
very
know.
Very nice.
It's that time of year where they start to come back. I mean, obviously, the horse has been off for 6 months. We'd like to see him come back a little earlier and run with us a few times, but, you know, better late than never. But we're glad to see her back on. And who knows what, if she does well here, you know, there's another 7/8 race back there, I think, on June 9th that might be open. So, it's good. Sunday's a little bit. I liked how you called that we had a little intermediate. The card's a little intermediate on Sunday, and that's a very kind word. But we get through the weekend on Sunday with 9 races and then come back, and, boy, now the pressure's really on to put on a, you know, decent card for Preakness Day because of the contest that we have here. And I forget about that. Nate's always telling me. You know, I said, oh, that's right. And it's so cool in the middle of the triple crown season to see everybody show up here, you know.
Yeah.
And with a smile on their face and happy to be here, and so it's pretty cool. So we'll try and put on the show for everybody next weekend for that. And it's we got 6 weeks to go, not that I'm counting, but still trying to get used to these Hollywood Park dates, you know, where we're grinding along here. So it's a tougher part of the year as two-year-olds come in and some and replace some of the older horses. But we're going to be just fine, and it's great. I got concert week next week, a couple of U2 shows, and then going to see Stephen Stills as well next week, and Taylor Swift's in town. And I'll tell you what, we're ready to go, and then we're ready for the Preakness.
I love it. And, of course, speaking of which, we'll mention just minutes ago, I circulated the Express Bet Preakness Stakes wagering guide, and now available. And again, back to its usual Friday distribution. And we actually are glad that we waited because, of course, the news that Bolt Doro is going to run gave everybody a chance, a little extra 24 hours to include Bolt Doro in their analysis and their plays and their selections. But the good news out of last week and Derby week was that the Express Bet guide, whether you're in a restricted stake state or not, all you have to do is register or sign up, and no problem, you will be able to download the wagering guide. So don't ask me to email it because I don't have to. You can get it on your own.
Yeah, and I got to say, you've been doing this for years, all you guys have put in the time, and it wasn't until about 3-4 years ago that, you know, you read so much stuff. I said, all right, let me look at this thing. Very helpful with the combination of styles, and you pick up all kinds of tidbits about the races and even about the track itself. So definitely a worthy read is the guide that you guys put out for the Triple Crown. Really enjoy it, Steve, seriously.
It's fun. So, and the stats are great with, you know, the average mutuals and all kinds of stuff. You find all the stuff that Jeremy Plonk digs up. Jeremy, that's his bailiwick.
And you know what? Like I said, it's great. Stuff that I would, you know, probably not going to take the time to look up or even have the resources to do it. So it's just something to look at. And if you pick up 2, 3, 4 things, then it's worthy, you know. So anyway, that's good. And I think, as I'm looking through my stuff here, I think that was it. That's all I have, unless you've got something else breaking.
No, we're good. I think we're good. We're getting ready for the weekend. I'll leave for Baltimore Sunday morning, and we'll come to everybody from high atop Old Hilltop Monday at 9 o'clock. So, Hammer, have a great weekend.
Say hi to Joe McKay out there. I'm sure you'll have a couple of crab cakes while you're there. And he's always a good listener and a good guy. So say hi to him and everybody else, and we'll talk next week, definitely.
Absolutely. Rick Hammerly, folks, away they go if you want to follow Hammer on Twitter. And we will go out into the race day. And, of course, I mentioned 27 racetracks tomorrow available.
Today, a little less, I think 17 or 19 racetracks running today. Let me see. Arlington, Belmont, Belterra, Canterbury, Charleston, Churchill, and that first pick five carryover. Delta Downs, Emerald, Evangeline, Golden Gate, Gulfstream, Indiana, Lone Star, Los Al for the quarters, Penn National, Pimlico, Hi-Ho, Prairie Meadows, Remington, more quarters, Sam Houston, Santa Anita, and Sunray Park and Woodbine. Make the most of it. Cash tickets. Get lucky. We'll talk to you from Baltimore on Monday morning. I want to thank Tom Quigley and Hammer and James and Ed, Nick Tamaro, Andy Beyer. Even though Andy never eats in Baltimore. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Good luck, everybody. I'm going to look at both. I'll do some New York tomorrow and some Santa Anita because the racing looks too good. Good luck this weekend. Thanks. Thanks, Case.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
What are most horsemen looking for in their equine athletes? Consistency. It makes the trainer's job a little easier if they know their individual horse's health ceiling. We at Biomedical Research Labs will guarantee that your horse will be at its own optimum consistency when using EPO Equine or Unlock on a daily basis. If after 45 days you do not see physical health improvements, we will gladly refund your money. To learn proper dosing or for more information, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880. EPO Equine and EPO Unlock.
Racing fans, we are now less than 2 weeks away from one of the most